Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Strokes and Jokes podcast. I am your host, Spencer Daniels, and I'm here with Julian LaValle and Carter Mumbauer, your co-host. And today we will be discussing golf. We currently are Division III golfers at the Bluffton University in Buffalo, Nowhere, Ohio. Small town golf, not really a whole lot going on. 2 weeks, we head back, start it all over. Julian heading down to Kentucky, missing a season, leaving us with the absolute fuckery that we're going to be experiencing the first week of golf. We got 36 holes Friday, 18 Saturday, and then 18 Sunday, competitive golf. We will be discussing how we got into golf and basically our background in the sport of golf and sports in general. I started off playing football in early high school and middle school and elementary as a youngster. Moved on to golf when I was a sophomore. Fell in love with it, got addicted. Took it from there. Ended up getting a few college scholarships, chose Bluffton. But we will move on to Julian.
Alrighty, here we go. Alrighty, so I went to Bluffton University as a soccer player. I never played golf in my goddamn life. I started off horrendous. If you look up worst golfers on the planet, you might have seen me on there. But I talked to Coach Craig, who is our coach at Bluffton. Great guy some days. He asked me, we had a person from Texas leave the university, and they needed another player. So I hopped on the bandwagon and was firing in the triple digits there in the spring. Some tough times, let me tell you, some tough times. But this will be my third full year golfing at Bluffton. I will be in a different state this year due to a internship I have received. However, I am excited for the spring as my numbers have slowly dropped back into the double digits where they belong. And we're slowly working our way back. But here's Carter.
So, played baseball all my life. Didn't make the team, or I didn't try out for the team my sophomore year of high school. Decided I started golfing. Had a not-so-good of a coach my first year. Just told us every practice, go play nine and call it a day.
Oh, God.
Then, my second year of golfing, junior year of high school, got a new coach, someone I knew from playing baseball. And he helped my game tremendously. Focus a lot on the short game, putting, chipping. You never have enough of that. And, after my junior season, realized how much I loved the game and how much I wanted to improve. I started emailing coaches, trying to hop on a scholarship or something from any colleges. Got one scholarship offer from an NAI school after I committed to Bluffton. Turned that down because I'm here at Bluffton and nowhere else I want to be. Just the game grows on you, and something that I love to do, and that's life.
And as far as the future of this podcast goes, we will be discussing basically any overall sports, life, whatever's funny, new, out there, typical shit. But otherwise, golf-wise, tomorrow we have a tee time with Julian's father, John Pitts.
Legend John Pitts. What
heard
a guy.
Heard he dick slaps the ball a little bit.
He's 55. Dick slaps the ball like a 2-year-old. Kind of hits like, 200-yard drive some days. The man can score, let me tell you. He may hit the ball short. I may drive him by 30 yards, maybe 70. The other day I outdrove him by 100. That was a pretty good drive. That was like once in a lifetime right there.
I've yet to witness
the
fuckery of this man. I heard he hits the ball short. Heard he sends in some darts.
Man, it's not even like he's playing golf. He's like playing darts. The man just hit, 5-iron, 180, and no, it's not 180. It's definitely shorter than that. But the man just throws darts in there. But we are playing tomorrow at good old Madison Country Club in North Madison, Ohio. That is in Northeast Ohio, of course.
Me and Carter, new to the course, first timers.
First time to the course. It'll be a little different, but It's a good solid course to play. But the main thing is we're all gonna kick John Pitts' ass. That's the goal.
We're hunting for him.
We're hunting for him.
We're out for him.
Trash talking.
He is. He's ready. Shot 37 today. Thinks he's tough shit. We're coming after him.
He does think he's tough shit.
He's going down.
He told me though on Tuesday he had five birdies. He had three in a row. Man still shot 78. So I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Maybe we'll catch him on an unlucky morning.
I think we'll catch him. He'll probably dick up a couple OB.
We'll pressure him.
We'll
have him slicing by the end of the day.
He'll be clenching his butt cheeks on a couple 4-footers.
we're putting out.
We're putting out for him.
I feel like old John is gonna get up to the hole 6 feet out. Gimme, fuck no.
He's gonna look at you. He's gonna look at you and be like, did you give me this putt? I'll be like, fuck you think this is? I'm not giving you anything today.
No. It's a game of life.
A game of life. You're not putting anything. We're putting everything out.
We will rise in John's failure tomorrow.
That man, John Pitts, though. So if anyone out there doesn't know, Loudmouth is the brand he wears. That man wears some crazy ass clothes.
Yes.
Now he does look a little fire with it, and an old boss of mine at the old golf course I worked at said, if you're wearing something like that, you better be damn good, or else you're probably the shittiest player on the course. So, tomorrow, which one is John Pitts going to be? I'm not very sure. We're probably looking at the latter of the two being the shittiest golfer on the course.
You put an outfit like that on it, you get eyes on you. Everybody's looking. You hit a slice and they're like, oh, get this guy off the fucking course.
Yeah, he's just a fucking scrub wearing some fancy ass clothes. Nah, we'll see though.
You don't expect, those outfits are expensive.
Dude, they are. Loudmouth, it's just not a cheap brand.
$80 pants, I'm pretty sure.
The pants are a little over 100. The shorts are 80. Shorts are $80.
Oh, $100 pants. The golf course is rough on pants.
The golf course is rough on pants.
I only wear pants on the golf course. As you guys know, some viewers may not, but pants is where it's at. I don't mess with the little sand crusties out of the bunker, rubbing up in my leg hair, everything else. You start itching. That's not how I roll. No, that's not how I roll. Carter, big shorts guy. Michigan, an absolute outlander. Absolute, just braving the conditions. 40-degree weather, dude's got shorts on every time.
Hell yeah. That's the only way you gotta roll.
Spring break last year, so freezing. You know, for the Division III golf life, you know, we do go on spring break. So we went to North Carolina this year, and we go in the beginning of March. So you're like, okay, well, it's probably warmer than Ohio. No, you're absolutely fucking wrong. It was freezing the whole time. And this man, Carter, I don't even know if he wore pants one of those days.
I think I brought one pair of pants.
I mean, I know you brought your rain
pants.
I mean, a pair.
I don't think I even brought my rain shit.
Yeah.
No. Maybe the jacket. I never wear those rain pants.
I don't. We got like once we got to Bluffton, we got FootJoy rain gear that will probably forever stay in my closet. Nothing is worse than trying to swing a golf club in a FootJoy rain jacket. It is more constricting than anything I've ever worn.
Red Hawk will do that to you, though.
Why don't they make them stretchy?
They're really I don't understand. They're just so uncomfortable. You know,
stretchy pants, like stretchy jogger pants. I can't believe they wouldn't make like a stretchy coat.
It's just stupid.
Like a flex coat.
It's intentionally baggy. Like it's just it fucks with your feels rotation. Like you're
fucking walking out there like an Alaskan braving a fucking blizzard out on the golf course.
They should just make rain shorts.
Rain shorts. Dude, oh.
No one cares if your legs get wet, but you care if your fucking
rain golf shorts.
Gear. If your golf gear gets wet, that's all you care about.
Those are facts. Those are facts.
Because you're going to get wet either way, so you might as well make some fucking rain shorts and get some breathability in your fucking
some
balls.
Some breathability in the package area. I kind of respect it.
Ain't no one wants some swap ass.
Nothing worse than getting off the course with that, and then you're just like beelining straight home, and you're like, oh man, a shower will feel so good tonight. So good.
Exactly.
But what we really want to talk to you about a little bit today, since we do play Division III college golf, is the difference between recreational golf and tournament golf.
Division III golf can, is indeed about as close to recreational golf as you can get, though.
Yeah, it's like a step up above your Thursday night leagues where you're putting $5 in for skins.
Coach Craig is holding it up, though.
Coach Adam Craig is a legend. I'm not going to lie. That man...
That's some hardcore... It's hardcore than you think.
It really is.
First week, 18 holes every single day of the week. We've got one Tuesday off after we move in.
The man is... So, Coach Craig was a Division II golfer at Findlay University in Findlay, Ohio. And he was pretty good back in the day. He's not so good now, but we'll get to that in a couple later episodes, probably, talking about how Coach Craig is... he's lost a step. Let's just put it that way.
Maybe we'll have him on a podcast sometime.
I think we might eventually. You know, like a couple years down the road when we're out of college and I can shit-talk him a little bit more.
Throw down some brewskis.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty nice.
I feel like Coach Craig pounds brewskis on the golf
course. No, he did. I don't know about the golf course. I think he takes it too seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like he takes it even though...
He respects the game.
He saw some, like, dip leaves on the fucking green that one time. He flipped the fuck out.
Oh, my God.
He's, like, hunting the person down.
Oh, my God. You can't touch the greens. He's pretty in about it. But... The recreational golf game to the tournament golf game is a whole different experience.
Yeah.
Think of, Spencer, how did your first tee ball off your first golf tournament in college feel?
So, I think I was 15 years old, and I think the exact thing my dad had in mind is, you know, practice is not the way to go starting out. And I think this is one of the things that made me so good so soon. As he threw me in some golf tournaments. I think I played in the Times Gazette, my local golf tournament in Ashland, Ohio. And really, double par. Double par is the rule. Double par, you pick up your golf ball. And it's embarrassing as hell. It really is. You know, when I first started, it was like, okay, I just got double par, and you pick your ball up in the fairway, you walk up to the green, you know. Shit's embarrassing. So, like, you just learn... You're like, okay, I got to keep up with these kids. Like, I can't be double parring. So, that really pushed me very hardcore.
Carter, how about you?
Talk about the first college golf shot of my career.
Tournament golf. When did you start playing tournament golf? You started around, what, 15 years old? Yeah,
sophomore year of high school. Yeah. Actually, I think I was 16 because I was in Michigan. Playing the spring season for some fucking reason. Worst idea ever. But, you know, I honestly don't remember. I remember we had the 9-hole matches, as presumable high school golf is always. And I remember going out there. I think my first one, I shot 64.
64 in 9 holes?
Yeah.
Wow. That's intense.
I was very non-consistent my sophomore year of high school. Go out, shoot a 60.
Would you say your swing is similar now as to what it was when you first started?
In the fall, yeah.
In the fall when you first started?
I never took any lessons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I go out there, shoot 60 one day, 45 the next. Like, I could show up and be like Tiger Woods one day, and the next day I'm Sergio Garcia slamming my driver everywhere. Yeah, ruining some bunkers and some greens. But let's talk about my first college golf shot. I don't remember the course. We were playing Ohio Northern University, or their tournament. Par 3. I believe I had an 8-iron in the hand.
I was on the front 9, right?
I think it was on the back, like 15 or 16. And walked up to the tee, nervous as hell, you know. I'm just a little 18-year-old freshman playing college golf with these guys who are juniors and seniors with a lot more experience than I have. And I topped that shot. I topped it to the fucking ladies' tees.
Your first... College golf shot.
My first college golf shot I topped. I don't even know if I made it to the ladies' tees.
Probably went won't up forget there. That one.
Will not forget that one. Went up there. Went down to my ball, you know, 25 yards ahead of me. And put that bad boy on the green and two-putted for a bogey. Next day I parred it though, so it's okay. And
next day I was MIA, missing in action.
Is that the kidney stone?
Yeah.
I received a kidney stone the night. The night of that golf tournament.
Oh, my gosh. We will talk about the kidney stone in a minute. That great stuff.
I wanted to mention I was MIA on the second day. What did I shoot the first day? 88?
89 because 89. I believe I shot 87, 89 that weekend.
Yeah.
No.
It was a tough start of course, honestly.
Greens were slow.
With the nervousness all combined, it was a pretty tough course to handle.
Yeah.
Overall.
So we'll talk about my first first golf tournament experience.
This should be good.
So my first tournament was 36 holes in one day. Yes, 36 holes in one day. First tournament ever. We were at Yankee Trace, Mount St. Joe's tournament.
Really?
Oh, it was awful. Don't even start. It was first off, you're gonna throw a brand new kid on a 36 hole tournament in fucking March.
Is that brutal?
Oh, it was murderous.
It was on like a weekday too.
It was a Tuesday. It was a Tuesday morning. I remember waking up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to hop on the van we took down there, and I'm just thinking the whole way there. I'm like looking up at the sky, and I'm like, I gotta play 36 holes. I don't even know if I played 36 holes in my life. No, that is untrue. I have played at least 36 holes by then. But we played Yankee Trace, and Yankee Trace is not the easiest course to play. So I started off on the 10th tee. I had a hybrid in my hand because I did not feel comfortable hitting my driver. Oh, the butt cheeks were clenched. Like, it was full clenched. Like, holy shit. This is actually happening. Like, I don't even know what's going on. And I remember just sitting up there scared as shit. And I hit a little hook and I was in the rough. But you know what? I didn't top it. I didn't slice it. It was still in play. I went on to shoot 111, I think, in the first turn. I think I went 111, 109.
In the first 18?
Yeah, the first 18 was 111. Which, I mean...
Well, the first nine.
It was not the first nine. But when you're definitely not used to playing tournament golf at all, you know, like recreational golf, you know, you got your guys hitting the foot wedge and your guys who, you know.
Fluffing lies.
John Pitt's fluff lies.
No.
He fluffs lies.
He fluffs lies tomorrow.
We can talk about that to Johnny Pitt's tomorrow. So, as I was saying, Johnny Pitts does fluff lies. It's because he plays in a league that fluff lies. But in a college tournament, you're not fluffing lies. You're looking at that baby and you're thinking, holy shit, how am I going to hit this?
Motherfucker's 4 inches down in the rough. Absolutely buried. You know, Spencer's always pulling out the 5-iron, just balls hanging down to the fucking grass, you know. Not giving a shit. Sending it. Never turns out. Always comes out with the top.
Always the top.
I remember going into the heather grass at Red Hawk, and my dad's watching me.
Oh, good old Manfred.
He sees me pull out this old thin 4-iron out of the heather grass, balls buried, and you know the hole is 210 yards out. So I'm thinking, I just gotta get it out there and get it going, and never works out. I tried it over and over and again. I was in the heather all day long. Over and over again trying this. My dad's just looking at me, shaking his head, and I'm just like, okay. Now it's time to pull out the pitching wedge or 58 degree.
Yeah, just what a disappointment.
We want to talk about disappointment. So back to that first tournament. So like one thing about, you know, college golf and everything is the courses we're gonna play are a little bit tougher than most. So Yankee Trace, the 9th hole, or the 18th hole, sorry, because
that's that par 5, right?
Yeah, with the water on the right. Yeah. There's a bunker right next to the hole.
Never played this course.
Never? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. I did not play Yankee Trace.
Okay, well, we'll get to all of Spencer's issues this year in another time. But
5.5 rounds missed.
Oh, my gosh. So, I'm in this bunker, all right? Before we even get to this, I actually left a wedge at home over spring break. Spring break when I was playing. Yeah, left a wedge at home. Think about playing with a 54 degree out of the sand. I'll never forget when Spencer said, watch this with a 54, bladed it 50 yards into the woods and said, shit, there it went.
Yeah.
He said, watch this, and yeah, there it went. I watched it all the way go in the woods. But at par 5, I took like a 12 on. I think 7 strokes were in the sand.
When you're a beginner, that double, when you play a tournament with a double par, you're like, shh.
Yeah. Well, you know, callers, they ain't got double pars. Trust me. I had plenty of tournaments where it's like, holy shit, Julian, like, can I just get off this hole? Like, can I just pick it up, like, just take, like, a fucking 10 and we just walk off? No, we were taking, like, 15s. No, the most I took was a 13 on a par 4. That's tough.
What?
That's tough.
What?
Think about that.
Do you remember 13. Every stroke?
Oh, yeah.
Can you go through that 13 on a par 4?
We played, it was Ohio Wesleyan's tournament. It was on Sunday, the second day, and we were struggling. We're on this par 4, OB right.
Oh, OB there right. We go. That's the start.
There it is. OB. There's the start. So I hit one OB, hit my third shot OB, hit my fifth shot OB. So my seventh shot on the tee in the fairway, I think. Or the right rough. I think it hit a tree, actually, and came back in. So yeah. I think it was going OB.
So you're almost double par.
Starting
off
to
the
sound
tee.
Like Rory at the first tee on the Open.
Yeah, choking Thanks. A little bit. Trust me, I was I was struggling. We were on the struggle bus, and we just were not getting off. I was just like, I'm going to hit this ball down the fairway. Yeah, it never happened. I'm just going to be honest with you. It was tough. So, you know, like, you know, hitting 8 or whatever, I think I went right. And I went 9 into a bunker, 10 out. I probably 3-putted. Definitely 3-putted.
Definitely 3-putted.
The 3-putts.
And 2.
The worst, though. We were playing at Worcester Country Club. The first hole. I 4-putted the first hole.
I did that this year, too.
First hole, Worcester?
First hole. The pin was on the front middle location. For some reason, my 56-degree landed on this top of this hill and did not roll off. On the green, and I did not think the greens were going to be as fast as they were. I tapped
you
this ball
it?
And it almost rolled off the other side of the green. It was probably went 30 feet past the hole.
It's bad when you tap it and you're like, stay on the green. Scott. You're thinking to yourself, stay on.
Oh, man, that's a sad sight. When
Don't
you,
embarrass me, you bastard.
When you just hit an awful golf shot, and especially like a putt, nothing worse than a putt or a wedge that you just hit bad, and you're just like looking at it and you're like, oh, God, like, just do something for me, like, hit a tree, like, just...
get a member's bounce?
Like, a member's bounce. But you know what? We don't get member's bounces. We're not getting member's bounces on the green. Those greens are, like, it's like putting on fucking concrete.
Yeah.
Them babies are tough, and, you know, the 4-putts, I'm not gonna lie, they can happen sometimes.
Worcester handed a can of whoop-ass to me, I'll tell you what.
I handed a can of whoop-ass to Worcester. I like the course.
Yeah, it's a nice little
I played
golf.
You have experience, though.
Yes, I did. I played both years in high school.
Yeah.
So.
But.
I knew exactly how it was going to be. I knew the greens were going to be rock hard. Super fast. But.
Super fast.
The best thing about it is you get a line. You just start off on that line. And the ball will roll to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
Whether it rolls 30 feet past or.
You get
10
amped
feet
up.
Short.
You get amped up and you. It just, it's like a mental game. You get excited. If you're shooting for birdie, I mean, you just pound that thing and it's rolling 30 yards past. It's
nothing.
It's rolling back to the tee box.
Nothing is worse than that. Nothing is worse than you got a birdie putt and you're like, oh man, I'm going to fucking sink this. You know, let's get it. Get a round starting. You end up taking like bogey because you just 3-putted.
Yeah.
Because you just blew it past the hole and your par putt's farther than your birdie putt.
Worcester's that course where you got one and you're like, oh shit. This is going to be quick.
Nope.
Tap it.
It's gone.
2 feet, stops, and you're like, son of a bitch.
It's tough.
I remember playing Yankee Trace this year. Second day, started on a par 3 on the front 9, I believe. You know, and I knew the yardage from the day before, so I was very confident in the shot. Like, no one in my group is ready. I walked up to the tee box, placed my ball down, struck an 8-iron, stuck it to 3 feet. Tapped in, birdie.
Looking first for everything, guys.
Next hole, pipe my drive down the middle of the fairway. Try to pin seek with a 7-iron. Sail that over the green. Then ended up taking double or triple on the next hole after that birdie. I think the moral of the story is, don't birdie your first hole.
You know, at Worcester Country Club, a fact is, last 4 holes, I hit the bunker. The last 4 holes, green side, I got up and down from every single one of them. Think about that's a closer. That's a closer.
That is a closer.
That's a closer. That could that's four bogeys get up and down two putt.
Especially the 18th hole.
Oh, 18 is tough. That's a tough hole.
Yes.
But I remember playing at Worcester the year before, and it was raining. And I just remember I was on the short par four on the back. Was it 15? Regardless. And I just remember I had three wood in hand. I hit this ball, and it was just pouring, and my hand slipped, and I said, son of a bitch. I said, that ball is just gone. I just hooked it right out of bounds, and I was like, yep, let's get this thing going. Nothing's worse than playing in the rain.
Out of bounds is probably the biggest thing that can salt me very easily in a round. That's probably one of my biggest mental issues on the course.
And, like, the thing
when
is...
When I hit it OB, it's mentally, it's like, dude, I can't even turn back. It's like you're hitting three off the tee box.
Your ball's deep.
You almost know. You're like, yeah. Like, there's
no fucked. Chance.
No chance to have a good hole. Damn near.
It's...
Unless you just fucking pull something crazy off.
Yeah, unless you're, like, fucking... drilling your ball 500 yards.
Exactly, yeah.
You dunk it from 150 for par.
Par three, a hole in one.
A hole in one.
It's a hole in one to make par if you hit it OB.
Like, that's just dumb.
That's ridiculous.
But
it would be awesome if you hit it OB, you tee up, you're hitting two.
It would be nice.
Because, I mean, you are hitting from the tee again. Does that make sense to you or no?
Yeah, it makes sense. The USGA to a certain point, though.
Yeah, I mean, it never happened.
It will never happen.
Maybe they are trying to make golf easier, though. They definitely are. They're
but
definitely
not for competitive.
They're golf. Not for competitive golf.
They're easing up the rules a little bit.
A little bit.
They're lightening up.
I mean, it's
they allow us to drop us from the knee. So,
I mean, that's just the dumbest.
The
thing
knee,
the knee rule is just weird.
Yeah,
it's like when you first do that in tournament, you're like, "What the hell am I doing?" Like you watch those guys in the pros. Like, nothing was worse than when Rory just dropped it from, like, shoulder height, and then just, or Ricky, it was Ricky. Ricky dropped it from shoulder height, because they're used to it for, you know, 20 years playing, and then there's, like, and then boom, you get two strokes because you dropped it from your shoulders. Like, what the hell is that? Like,
yeah, I'm, on the course, I've never been a rules guy, ever. If I'm playing with you,
I hope you know the rules.
And you take a drop, and, you know, you ask me, hey, is that fine? I'm like, yeah, dude.
Go right ahead.
Seriously, I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if you...
I mean, if you're doing, like, something, like, outrageous, like, you just...
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's pretty obvious, but, like, I mean, that's the thing. Golf is supposed to be fun. And even tournament golf...
Tournament golf, you see a kid drag and he's having a rough day.
You gotta help him out.
And he asks you about a rolling or something, and you know you can just, like, completely fuck him over. You're just like, dude, just take a drop. Just fucking drop your ball. Let's move on.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Dude, you're taking a fucking 10. I remember in high school, this kid, he's just playing shitty all day long. Felt terrible for him. Spanking his club, having a temper tantrum, everything else. And he just kills his ball way left. And I don't see the kid again for, like, another 30 minutes. He comes... I'm on the green with my ball. I have a birdie putt, and I'm, like, looking over there, and... You know, I can see he found his ball. He's got a ton of coaches over there. He comes back up. 30 minutes later, comes crawling out of the woods. Fucking comes up on the green. Ball's in the bunker. And we get on the next tee box, and he's like, do you know what I had? And I said, dude, well, you got a 10. You got a 10. We'll just mark it for a 10. I mean, fuck, dude. That was probably like 20 strokes, but whatever.
Those are tough.
In high school, I was way more relaxed about it because college is just – college is a little iffy. Word gets around, you know, a lot of people, it's a lot more serious competition.
It is. But the thing about the Division III golf, which is a lot of what this podcast is going to help you guys understand, I mean, it is a step up from, you know, playing recreationally in leagues and stuff, but it's still very intense. It's still full. I mean, we play, our season is the beginning of August through October, and then... March all the way through to the beginning of
May. End of February.
I mean, yeah.
D3 golf, I never thought I'd get to play a University of Kentucky golf course.
Yeah, I mean, we play some legitimate golf courses.
Transylvania's D3, but look at them. That's some serious golf.
Yeah.
Worst guys shooting low 70s, shooting par.
Worst guy. Not the best guy.
The worst guy.
Best guy shooting 66.
Yeah, the worst guy on the team is shooting 500. Is a scratch golfer.
Yeah, he's legit. You know, the rest of the scrubs, you know, their scrubs are like 72. They're like, oh, shit, I just shot even par. Well, fuck you, buddy.
I think golf is definitely at a peak of popularity and of some sort.
Oh,
I don't know if it's at a peak for the future. I think in the future we'll have a little bit more, but definitely talent-wise, people that want to play the game. 100%.
It's amazing.
No. 30 years ago, there was no way you're finding a Division III golf team that people are shooting under par. It's unbelievable, yeah, as a team.
I mean, it's watching some of these kids. I mean, like, for me, I mean, I last year when I first started, holy shit, man, if you could just hit the ball straight, I thought you were amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, some of these kids, like, even now, like, watching everyone else on the team, like, you hit some shots and you're like, look at me. Yeah. I just did that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually impressive going through, watching everyone, all the different schools we play and everything. And you see some kids who are damn good.
Yes.
It's mind-blowing how just... I mean, like, because you think D3, you think, oh, well, you know, these kids...
No scholarships. There's no money.
There's no money.
There's no money.
You think, oh, man, any kid that's going to be actually good is going to go... Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not.
You figure if you can play golf that well, if you can be a scratch golfer, you should damn sure be getting fucking paid to do it.
Yeah, I mean...
Damn near. Yeah, you should be getting some money to play golf the way that you do it.
You look at other sports and everything, it's like, oh, you went D3 for football.
Did what?
Like, dude... D3 yeah. for football, like, you're just on the roster. Like, you know, if you're going to Mount Union or some of those places, you know, you're pretty legit.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to, I don't know.
Bluffton.
I didn't want
Defiance.
To say.
Defiance.
If you're going to Defiance for football and, like, dude, you're just doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah, you're just doing it for the play.
But
in the end, that's all that really matters.
But some of these D3 golfers, they're legit.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
Even some of them come from all over the world, Mexico, Asia, and they're playing for what? No scholarship money?
No scholarship.
Just for the love of the game, playing golf in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah. And most of them are good as hell.
Yeah.
They could probably go D2.
Yeah, honestly, I can't even imagine what it's like even in southern states. Can't even imagine.
I mean, I played with this guy from Trine. And I think he was from Mexico, and he was probably like 9 over, probably heading into the back 9, birdied 3 or 4 holes in a row, got his round back on track, shot like 74.
Yeah.
I remember I played with, so for college, we always have our conference tournament at the end of the year. So the last 2 years and the last couple of years, it has been a 2-weekend format where we play 72 holes. So it's your total score from both 36 rounds at 2 different courses. And those guys, they're competing. It's legit. You watch some of these guys and see some of these scores that these guys put out. I mean, some you could look at their scorecard and you could play with them and you'd be like, holy shit, this guy's literally playing lights out. And you're like, you're watching him and then you look and you're like, man, he only shot like an 85. And then you just look on the scoreboard and you're like, that kid from Transylvania just shot 7 under on this course. I just shot like 45 over on my 2 days.
My 2 days.
You know, like, you know, it's really impressive how, I mean, even we're in the HCAC, the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference. Transylvania goes to the national tournament
for 13 straight years.
Every year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely something cool. Tournament golf is a great experience, though. Yeah. Because you always play, you know, you play with different people all the time. You know, recreational golf, you don't play with different people. You play with your same foursome buddies that you go out and drink
people every day.
You drink beers with, and you're you're putting $5 on who gets closest to the pin, and none of you guys even hit the green because it's, you just, I mean, it's just what happens.
Yeah.
But like tournament golf, it's a good time.
Especially the fact that what Garrett Schuller was 2 under, 4 under. University of Kentucky course?
It was 4 under and finished.
If you think about, I mean, seriously, if you put PGA Tour players on that course, Garrett Schuller could have ranked in the top 20.
Well, yeah.
In the PGA Tour event on that JB course Hull, on that day, the way he was playing.
That course.
Division III golf.
That course.
Earlham. Earlham in Indiana. It's a small school.
Yeah.
Division III golf.
JB Holmes is
that's ridiculous.
Permanent lifetime member of it, we believe. He has his
own
parking spot. at the course.
Might be the slowest goddamn golfer on the planet, though.
He
did shoot 87 at the Open after he shot 66 the day before.
So, you know, if we're putting him on Big Blue in Kentucky, might be able to take him down if he's shooting an 87.
Yeah.
Might be able to take him down.
Just put Brooks Koepka with him to speed up the pace.
But that's insane that the level of talent in Division III golf can be that high.
The depth of golf on the PGA Tour or all the developmental tours, and even D1, D2, D3, NAIA, it's insane how many good golfers there are in the world. And if you even if you have a sub-10 handicap, you're considered, what, the top 20, top 10% in the world of golfers? Yeah.
It is impressive. Yeah.
And there's a lot of good fucking golfers.
Yes.
I listened to Golf Channel the other day, and they said, how many golfers do you think could shoot 70? Who could shoot par? And they're like, a lot. Because you put in all those leagues and everything, you put every D1 golfer is going to be able to shoot under par.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every
no
D1.
Doubt, yeah.
And probably the top D2s are all shooting at least right there.
Yeah.
And then you still have the top D3s schools. Their players are all doing it too.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of depth in golf. It's actually quite very interesting in the end. But, I mean, it comes out with a lot. And for all of us, you know, none of us started golfing at the age of
It really makes you three. Think Division III athletics as a whole.
It does.
Like any lower division, football, basketball, baseball.
Volleyball.
You know there's guys out there that are insanely good but never get recognized just because they're a division.
And a lot of it comes from, you know, where you went to high school.
Yeah.
Because you could be the best, you know, you could be the best baseball player in your county,
mm-hmm.
and you could play in the worst county in the world and then play, like, D3 or, like, walk onto a D2 school and barely struggle because you're just not getting the exposure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's D3... It's a great place. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think, you know, you think you're slumming it because you're in D3 instead of, like, D2, but schools take care of you.
Golf is definitely different, though.
It is. Because
there's no draft. There's nothing. I mean, anyone can go and go to Q school and do their thing and become a professional anywhere.
Yeah.
Q school is expensive.
You don't have to go to college. You don't have to do any of that. Well, I'm sure you could get into some tournaments.
Yeah.
Go to Pro Golf Academy and... There's ways.
There's definitely ways.
There's definitely ways. I mean, obviously, NFL draft is a little bit of division discrimination, obviously.
Yeah.
You don't get looked at. Obviously, if you're JUCO...
If
JUCO's good, but I mean, still, you know there's people in JUCO that are beyond well enough good to play in the NFL, but they don't get to because they can't get their shit together academic-wise.
No, it's...
You know there's some absolute animals, yeah, off the field, you know.
Yeah, it's...
Whatever. If you threw them into an NFL team and said, here you go, this is it, they could probably survive.
Oh, yeah.
They could probably get it done, but they have to sit in a classroom and in
they JUCO. They can't do it. They can't.
As soon as they go back home, they... Trouble is just instant.
Oh, it's tough. But the one thing about golf that's so different than any other sport, it's not a team game.
Yeah.
It is, but it isn't.
In high school, it definitely felt like a team game way more than I feel as though college.
In college, you're kind of...
Because in high school, we were good enough to win.
Yeah, that's
so if you were at the backbone of the team...
You had to perform.
Yes, especially on the back line. I was four-man... My junior year, and then three man my senior year. Even being on the top, you know, you screw up, and then somebody else on the back messes up, you're done.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to win, in college, obviously, Bluffton's an up and coming golf. You know, we're new, we're not as developed as other schools.
Yeah,
it's only 2 years in? 2 year program right now?
Yeah, this will be the third year.
I guess.
The description of the podcast is. Legends. It's more like legends in the making.
If you can say that.
It's more like a goal.
More like a dream.
A dream that'll
never be achieved.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we golf, we have fun, but it's definitely something to get into. If you don't golf, I always will say I never started out golfing. I remember my dad, Johnny Pitts, bought me some clubs. Bought me the old Acuities. First off, both of their faces were like, holy shit, you just bought Acuities? Like, those are terrible clubs. But, like, that's what I started with. And, like, I said, fuck this game. I said, I can't play this. It's too slow. I suck. I was terrible. I still am, but it's more fun now to hit the ball a little bit farther.
I started out with $5 clubs out of a garage sale.
I mean, you
All mixed and matched, and, you know, I just took them out in the backyard, teeing balls up, just sending them as far as I could. You know, I just thought it was impressive if I could hit the ball as far as I could. And then my dad finally was like, hey, you know, if you don't hit them straight,
doesn't mean shit.
And, I mean, seriously, that's how it was. Threw me in competitive golf, and it's pretty much over from there. But
no, I mean, it's definitely something. Competitive golf is a lot different than recreational golf, but both great times. Great times. So for our last segment today, we are going to wrap up with some information leading into the FedEx Cup playoffs, which are starting this weekend at the Northern Trust. Carter, what do you got for us?
Well, I know Tiger's committed to the next two, Northern Trust, and I think the following one...
The BMW.
Then after that, you got the Tour Championship. I mean, who knows if we'll see Tiger there with his back. But they are start the PGA Tour is starting a new scoring system for the PGA Tour Championship, so the common viewer at home can be more engaged in understanding what's happening around the points. So the number one ranked golfer in the FedEx Cup ranking will start the tournament at 10 under par.
Bullshit.
And then I think the second will start at 8 under par, and so on and so forth until you get down to the 30th guy who's at even par. And, I mean, it's a innovative idea, you can call it, whether you like it or not. And it makes it easier for the common golfer to understand. Yet, is it fair for the 30th ranked golfer that he's 10 strokes behind the number one ranked player in the world? But I guess that's why you're number one, is that you should keep that lead.
Do we know who is number one?
I believe the number one in the FedEx Cup ranking right now is Matt Kuchar.
Matt Kuchar.
That's disgusting.
Matt Kuchar. Now, I'm not going to lie.
He's on the Skechers commercial.
Skechers golf.
He has a Skechers commercial.
I mean, I know he did win two tournaments earlier this year, but...
He might be the only known guy to ever play in that. One of them he kind of screwed over his caddy, my boy Toucan from Mexico.
What did he give, like $5 or something?
$5,000.
What did he win? Was it
probably a mil?
Eight mil. 800,000 was it something like that? Know.
Close to a mil.
And he gave his caddy $5,000. That's just like a fuck you, buddy. I could have just done this on my own. And it's like, whatever. But you know, that's Matt Kuchar. But you know, Tiger Woods, the boy, the goat, not looking so hot.
Not since the Masters.
It's been a tough year. It's been tough. We're still pulling for him. He's got three more tournaments, and you know, his tournament at East Lake, maybe another win. Hopefully he gets there. That's in the end.
I don't even know what he's ranked in the FedEx Cup ranking.
Let me look.
But, I mean, there's a lot of notable names toward the top. I think Rory's pretty close. Probably Ricky Fowler. I know Jordan Spieth is in like the ranked in the 70s right now. But also, like, the normal tour event for on any given day, you get 500 FedEx Cup points. But if you win any of the playoff events, you get 2,000. So you'd be the ranked 120th in the world. And you win one of these next two playoff events, and you get put to first or second in the FedEx Cup rankings. So there's a lot of money on the line. $10 million for the first place in the FedEx Cup.
$10 million for golf. Think about that. That's actually a lot of money.
It is.
These guys do pretty well. But the updated FedEx Cup points, Brooks Koepka is actually in the lead now. So it's not that scrub Matt Kuchar. Rory's in second. The GOAT is... Oh, man, I'm still scrolling.
That's not good.
Oh, that is not good. Hey, Phil Mickelson, 34th. I'm still scrolling. Hey, there's JB Holmes.
I mean, it's hard to...
Where the hell is he?
It's hard to get ranked that high in the FedEx Cup rankings when you only play four tournaments a year.
Is that...
Tiger Woods. Yeah, he hasn't played anything. Oh, and then you're not making cuts and everything. Okay.
You had, what, one major a year? And
oh, he's 28th.
He's 28th, so he's top 30.
Yeah, so he goes to the tour championship right now.
If he makes a cut.
If he makes the cut.
But a lot of stuff going around and a lot of new information for golfers who are just coming to the game. The FedEx or the PGA Tour Championship, they're trying to get the common viewer in more, get some more views, and bring more attention to golf. Obviously, with Tiger Woods, that brings a lot of people to golf. I mean,
man is electric. That guy on a golf course.
Facts.
You watch him hit a shot, you're like, holy fuck, man, it's Tiger Woods. Like, you just are in straight awe because it's probably the greatest golfer that ever walked the planet. Obviously, up to the
not
debate.
Probably.
Okay, we're just definitely. We're just gonna leave it up to that, just because I understand. In this time period, we'll go with that. That's pretty legit. But it'll be interesting walking down on Tour Championship in East Lake to see if Tiger Woods will be on the final group.
He is a defending champion.
He is the defending champion at East Lake.
We all remember the scene last year on 18.
That was a spectacle. Watching, there might have been 100,000 people at East Lake.
Right on his back.
Right on his ass. And I was like, man, I just hope they just don't swarm him. I hope he can just finish. And I remember watching Justin Rosen being like, man, I hope you four putt from 2 feet so Tiger can win the FedEx Cup too.
I mean, he has enough money in the world.
Tiger? I mean, yeah, but that's not the point. You know, we're wanting the big cat to do big things. And you know the Masters was big, but his roar stopped. It's like an abrupt halt.
It's more like meow, meow,
little purr here and there. he started to purr at the Open and shot 78 on the first day and missed the cut.
So I guess never really purred at all.
Never purred at all. He
was in hibernation.
Hibernation. Well, he's been there since the Masters. Hopefully, he'll come out eventually. But, I mean, it just shows you, even if you're in the pros, you still can shoot over par.
You can look at all the tournaments in the PGA Tour this season. I mean, yeah, people like the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Someone who didn't even make the tournament from the Monday qualifier came in as a third alternate. Nate Lashley came in and took that tournament by storm and won by 6 strokes. Yeah, people winning every week that you never heard of, and that's how deep the depth in golf is, and Any given day could be someone's day and change their life forever.
It really can.
That's deep.
That is very deep.
That is deep.
But I think that is how we will end that segment. Spencer,
close us out.
We are going to wrap up episode 1 of Strokes and Jokes. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We're going to get back to stroking and joking, and you do the same.